rock bells, bell rock, jingle rock, bell rock bells. Rock bell, jingle rock, bell, bell, bell. Rock bell, jingle, jingle, jingle. Rock, jingle bell, rock. Bell rock, bell, rock bell, jingle. Jingle rock, bell, jingle, jingle. Jingle bell, rock, bell. Bell rock, jingle bell, rock, jingle. Jingle, jingle, rock, bell. Bell, bell, rock, jingle, rock, bell. Bell, rock, jingle bell, rock, bell, rock, jingle, rock, bell.
This song has 2 minutes left.
Jingle, rock, bell, rock, bell. Bell, rock, jingle, rock, jingle, rock, bell, rock, bell, jingle, rock. Jingle rock, bell rock, bell. Bell, jingle, bell, rock, bell. Bell rock, jingle rock, bell rock, jingle rock, bell rock, jingle rock, bell.
We're not even halfway
rock,
done.
Bell, jingle rock, bell. Bell, jingle, rock. Rock, jingle, rock, bell. Bell, jingle, rock, bell. Bell, rock, jingle, bell, rock. Bell rock, bell, jingle, jingle, jingle rock, bell rock, jingle rock, bell. Bell rock, jingle rock, bell. Bell rock, jingle rock, bell, bell. Bell rock, jingle rock, bell. Rock, bell, rock, bell. Jingle, jingle, jingle rock, bell. Rock, bell. Rock bell, jingle rock, bell, bell, bell. Rock, jingle bell, rock. Rock bell, jingle rock, bell. Bell rock, jingle rock, jingle rock, bell. Bell rock, jingle rock, bell rock, jingle rock. Bell rock, jingle rock, bell.
So, Merry Christmas.
All right, there you go. Thank you. Our good friend Nate sent that in. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. It's also Rick at RickEmerson.com. If you'd like to email Tim Riley, rejoins us in mere seconds here with the Ministry of Truth. Let's talk to Brian. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. First time, long time.
Thank you.
I had a quick question for you in regards to the tragedy on Mount Hood with the climbers getting lost. I heard a report somewhere that the guy that checks them in the mountain before they climb and gives them those get lost GPS devices, I don't know if they declined them, they didn't take them for whatever reason, but I was curious as to why. That's not been reported, talked about. I've been watching this in the news, the paper. Curious on your take about all that.
I think the story we heard, I don't know if it's true or not, the story that we've heard and are mindlessly passing along without fact-checking is that they had, the guy there had tried to convince these guys to take, like, a navigation system, which is like $10 a day or something, and then,
exactly.
we don't need that, we're from Texas. And
yeah.
That ended poorly. That is, I don't know that that's true, but that's kind of the conventional story. That's the conventional wisdom going around. So if the guy said, no, you really want one of these things, I'm like, no, you don't understand, we're man. And then, and now they're dead.
Yeah, well, now they're dead men, so
yes.
a lot of good that I did them.
No, it's true.
Well, not to belabor that point anymore, but I was watching on the President Bush thing today, and, you know, the big question of the year is what the hell is wrong with this guy? But the one blurb I saw him was saying, as he was talking about, you know, hey, when I'm sitting up here talking to you guys like I am right now, who the hell writes for this guy? How the hell can he not coherently put together proper sentences and just things that make sense in general to just intelligent people?
Well, you would think that by now they
he was not elected by intelligent people.
That's what I'm saying. And
they are not his constituency.
And you would think that they would write to his level right now, like that they would give him sort of like a Steinbeck thing where it's all one-syllable words. We go to war over there. Well, that's I'm already in the
freedom.
Syllables.
Liberty.
9-1-1 was a bad day for us. George Bush, am here. I will make you safe. That's it.
It is so goddamn painful to watch this guy try to speak. I cringe every time.
Yes, it's true. All right, thank you, sir. Thank you for listening, and keep spreading the word, Brian.
God bless us all.
Everyone. Except Tom Cruise and Star Jones. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, the search for those two clamor spear dead on Mount Hood called off today after the men's families were told they didn't want rescue crews to risk their lives. So the family hanging around waiting to get back on TV was told to go home, try to get on the Larry King show.
But I want to write a book.
Maybe even Tony Danza. So that's that. Please don't mention it again. And everyone stay up the mountain at least till after Christmas.
Scotty typed something really funny in the screen. Scotty said, what? I was just getting used to spending $6,000 a day. Okay, that's legitimately funny. Take a bow, Scotty. That's legitimate.
He needs his own radio program.
Right there. That's actual wit. Fancy, you should follow the Timnasium on Saturdays.
Fantastic. Well done. Well, anyway, let's do a Britney watch, shall we? Let's do a Britney watch. I have two invigorating stories here.
It's like she's squeezing out something sort of mushy and painful.
Was Britney Spears fooling around on Kevin Federline before the two split? This story is entitled, Did Britney Cheat Before K-Fed Became FedEx? Well, Spears is dating J.R. Rotem, a friend of K-Fed's who produced several songs in his debut CD, and is working with Spears on her comeback album. But sources tell the Star magazine that some of Spears' friends are convinced that Hanky Panky is going on between the two before Spears filed for divorce from her husband.
Do people really say Hanky Panky anymore?
I still do. I like that.
Thought it was just Madonna.
Nope.
All right.
Another source, however, says while there was some definite chemistry, Spears and Rotem waited until she signed papers. Then, there's also buzz that Britney's former best friend, Paris Hilton, also dated Rotem. And then when Spears found out, her friendship with Hilton soured. Rotem also worked with Hilton on her debut CD, and the two dated briefly. This is getting more confusing as they go along. It's nothing serious, just a few hookups, said a source. I bet $1 million that JR tried to keep that a secret from Britney.
No, and here's the thing is, I can't speak for you guys, but I think I am now reaching that point, the event horizon where I am officially over Britney. Possibly for good. Possibly, I think Britney and I, we spent some time apart, and then we came back together, we and Britney. And we seemed like we could rekindle what we used to have with Britney. But now it just seems like it's irretrievably broken. It seems like there are irreconcilable differences between Britney and this show.
I think everyone's given up on her. I think she's given up on her.
Well, that's the thing. It's like...
She's given up on life.
There's... Now all there is the wasting and the dying. Because it seems like she had about a two-week period where the whole country was like, okay, you dumped the guy, and get back on track and so forth. And now she's just like, she's just whizzed it all away, all of that goodwill. So, well, all right.
Then, our second headline here, Britney taken off stage, booed at basketball game. Party animal and exhibitionist Britney Spears is far from ending her reckless partying spree, despite promising to clean up her wild behavior since her split from her husband. Spears is having a hard time keeping her clothes on. In early December, her mom, Lynn, ordered her to stop drinking and return home to Louisiana. But days after Spears attended a party in Malibu with her dress up, apparently she has since apologized to fans for antics, adding, I'm just getting started. Spears visited a racy Los Angeles burlesque club, 40 Deuce, on Sunday night, where she uninvitedly jumped on stage between striptease acts. Britney and some girlfriends gyrated for the crowd with Spears, cigarette in hand, unzipping her top and baring her bra. In another development, the former child star was booed by fans after she took her seat courtside at the Staples Center for a Lakers Sunday night game.
Is that true, really? She was booed? Oh, what I wouldn't give to see it. Oh, you know there's video of it, too, at a Lakers game? Oh, there had to have been. There's
apparently
got to be filming that.
Fans poked fun as her face appeared on the venue's Jumbotron.
That's a lot of face to poke, by the way. She,
The entire crowd started booing. As it turned out, the insult was too much to bear for the singer, who got so mad she left before halftime.
I know that there is a bit of a double-edged sword here, and Sarah has noted this too, that we criticize starlets for gaining, for losing a lot of weight and for being stick-thin like Nicole Richie, and then we criticize them for, but Britney's eating a lot of carbs. Let me just say that.
I don't,
Or drinking
a lot of
carbs.
I saw pictures of her from last night, and she, I mean, they're bad, but she doesn't look as bloated as she did at that game. I think it's just a really bad angle.
And I think it might be like a bit of an alcohol bloat there. I think she might have a little bit of the she's fermenting a little bit.
Oh.
And, you know, because that alcohol is not calorie free. So, yeah, there you go. So there's Britney Spears. There's your Britney watch for whatever the hell that is. For Wednesday, right now.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have. You see, my problem is this.
According to page 5 of the CBS Avoiding Racial Stereotypes handbook, it is understandable that stereotypical portrayals can be offensive to people of underrepresented races and ethnicities. Many ethnicities are excluded from regular roles on television or in movies, and their roles are limited to stereotypical portrayals. For example, all Latin Americans talk with an accent and eat beans. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, don't rush to congratulate Sharon Stone on nabbing her younger co-star, Christian Slater, despite published reports that the two are an item. Some supposedly confirmed by the Basic Instinct star, Stone's rep tells there's no romance at all. They did Barbie together and went to 2 premieres together. Nothing new. And nothing else.
It's the least interesting gossip item we've ever read.
No,
I can't really, I'm trying to summon up any, like, something to say about it, and I can't possibly tell you how uninterested I am in whoever it is that Sharon Stone, I mean, just, that's got to be the, nah, never mind, I don't even care enough to talk. Let's see, Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick?
Kevin, do you care who Sharon Stone is having sexual relations with?
Well, it's not me, so no, I don't.
Okay. How can I help you, sir?
I've got, I've consulted Monty Python for the Chinese waiter.
We've been asked at this page 3 of the CBS Avoiding Racial Stereotypes handbook has complete the following sentences. All male hairdressers are blank. He drinks a lot, so he must be blank. Jewish mothers are typically blank. And then waiters in Chinese restaurants are blank. And I swear to God, that's the one we can't figure out what they want us to say. We can't figure out what response they're trying to trap us into so they can call us racists. We can't figure out exactly what the book is supposed to manipulate us into saying.
I may have found it with the help of Monty Python.
Yes.
The waiters never are rude. Think of the many things they've done to impress. There's Maoism, Taoism, I Ching, and chess.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Here's Tim Riley.
Sienna Miller turns down vodka for a movie role. Oh, she has slimmed down with vodka for a movie role. Sienna Miller was willing to do whatever it took to get her new movie role, even if it meant getting ridiculously thin. She says she went on a vodka diet and lost weight for her latest film.
Fantastic.
Hear that, all you young girls out there? The slim 21-year-old actress had to get down to a controversial size 0 for her role as Edie Sledgwick in the movie Factory Girl.
I don't understand what a size 0 even means, though. I mean,
I don't know what that means either.
I mean, do we
you
know?
You are 31.
Yes, I am.
That's dangerously close to a 0.
Do I? Shut your mouth. Do we know anybody who's a size 0?
Not to my knowledge.
Is there anybody that I've seen in real life that we could point to who is a size 0? Mm. Because I don't understand. First of all, I don't think that size even used to exist.
Maybe you go into the negative column.
That's my other thing. Is like, what if girls get even smaller in the future? What if they just go down to singularities and slip into subatomic space? How can they ever make anything? They can't ever make anything smaller than that. Then they'll just have to adjust the whole, they'll have to adjust the whole size scale. It doesn't make any sense. It's like having... It's not like an amplifier where you can just turn it to 11. Having somebody smaller than a size 0 doesn't seem physically possible. Well, whatever. Anyway, so she...
She also eats omelets made out of only egg whites.
All right. Rick, it was Steve in Vancouver. I can't tell you how little I care about a movie made about Andy... About Edie Sedgwick. Andy Warhol, I would see a movie about.
I'm totally going to watch it. They've had to reshoot, like, 6 different times because the movie is so bad.
Is it one of those things where they're trying to save it in post?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. The only thing I know about that is that Watch His Guts plays Bob Dylan. The guy. Who's that guy that plays Bob Dylan?
I don't know.
Well, obviously, I cared about it for like a day, and now clearly it's fallen out of my brain.
By the way, the vodka diet totally works. I'm lost, like, 5 pounds.
You should endorse it. You should do that thing where you have the pants that
are
all big.
I lost a lot of weight because I went through a depressed time where all I drank was vodka and ate chicken strips. And I lost a ton of weight.
So it's really the dumped diet or the, is that a breakup diet?
I wasn't the one dumped. But
I don't mean to be caustic. I'm just saying.
It was the breakup. It totally was the breakup.
That's always the cause of that diet.
I lost like 10 pounds just vodka, chicken strips.
Yeah. No, that diet is always prompted by a breakup of a relationship. What diet? It's like John Favreau in Swingers. What diet are you on? I'm in the sitting in my house and just drinking orange juice and having sausage, piece of sausage every week or two diet. That's what that is. The I have been dumped or had a bad breakup or have an unrequited crush diet, you'll lose like 100 pounds in a month on that. You want to do that, though. Like, literally, where you do, like, the James Coco thing where you do the side profile and you hold the waist of your pants out far, like...
Here's the new Grey Goose girl.
I lost 30 pounds in 3 weeks on Grey Goose and chicken strips. Fantastic. Rick, it was Steve in Vancouver who wanted more stand-up comedy. It was Dan, with all of his, quote, radio experience, who was bitching about... Oh, Dan was the guy who was complaining about our news and commentary and opinion not being clearly labeled as such. About being all mixed up together. That's who Dan was. Dan. And that's that photo of Britney Spears I was talking about that you just had up on the screen right there.
All
right.
Unfortunate.
Let's see. Subject line of this email. Scotty J and the thing I saw him do. I don't even know if I want to read
that thing you do with Scotty J.
That thing he did. Rick, I wrote you the other day about Scotty J and how he got all drunk at our Christmas party and told a girl in the hotel bar that he was, quote, effing you tonight, end quote, which is the best story ever, by the way. Since you were on this stereotype sensitivity subject, which is so gay, I have to tell you something Scotty J did when he was making phone calls at our old job. He calls this place and gets a woman on the phone and has a hard time understanding her. He then asks her if she is from the Orient.
I can see that happening, though.
She promptly hangs up on him, and he says to me, what the hell was her problem? I said, Scott, who tells people they're from the Orient? Rick, pleased to be asking Scotty J where people from the Orient are from. Scotty?
Can we draw a map of the Orient?
Yes.
And what countries that might consist of?
Okay. They are from... he has noted... Well, he has noted that they are from Asia. Okay. Thank you very well.
They bombed Pearl Harbor.
All of them. They all bombed Pearl Harbor. Every one of them. Them and the people from... Them and the goddamned Icelanders.
I want to see more pictures of Scotty.
And the people in Zurich. I've had it up to here with the Swiss. What?
I want to see more pictures of Scotty. People are coming out of the woodwork with stories. I want to see more pictures in his underwear.
I want to see a picture up. Okay. I want to see a picture.
We need a new MySpace picture.
Of Scotty J as he is telling the woman that he's going to be effing her tonight.
I want a Christmas family photo of Scotty J and all the little J's and Mrs. J. And their dog that they probably have.
Scotty, do you have a dog? I bet you do. I bet you have a little dog.
I bet the dog's name's Rusty.
Is your dog's name Rusty? Victor. Really? V-I-C-T-O-R? Well, all right. Fair enough. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. What's happening?
What's up, brother?
I've got a clean and non-offensive Asian joke for you.
An Asian joke. This is Jesse who's telling this. This is not the Rick Emerson Show. Advocating, promoting, condoning, endorsing, or encouraging this behavior.
So, yeah. So, how do you know if an Asian has broken into your home? Hello?
Hold on a second. I want you to hang on tight for a second.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Hold on, Jesse, I'm going to put you back on hold. Don't go anywhere. Scotty, I'm going to let you...
How's it going, Rick?
I'm
going
to let you pinch host for a second here.
Scotty, did you get Christmas pictures taken with the family?
No.
Oh.
We should do that.
I'm going to get Max's picture taken with Santa. I'm totally getting my dog's picture taken with Santa.
I was actually in a store at Washington Square the other day, and they have a bunch of oil paintings. And I thought it'd be hilarious to have a huge oil painting of my dog.
All right.
Above the stairs.
Scotty, have you ever said to yourself, I wish I could be a talk show host?
No.
Okay, here's your chance. So you now get to be the host. Take this call from Jesse and engage in this call with him.
All right.
So how would you intro it?
Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey,
Scotty. How's it going?
It's going good. Jesse, how are you?
So disappointed.
I'm excellent.
What can we do for you, Jesse?
I got a joke.
Really? Is it funny?
Yeah, it's funny. And it's not offensive. Well,
so,
maybe.
So it's clean.
It's clean. It's definitely clean.
And what does this joke have to do with?
Well, it's relatable because it's about the Asians.
Okay. We need to tread on,
I believe the word is Orientals.
Tread lightly.
The Oriental side.
There you go, Scotty.
Thank you.
All right. Are you ready?
Go.
How do you know when an Asian has broken into your home?
Okay, I don't.
All your math homework is done, your computer is completely upgraded, and 2 hours later, they're still trying to back out of your driveway.
I don't even think that's funny.
Oh, come on.
He says laughing, holding in the belly laugh.
I think that's very practical.
What kind of car were they in, by the way?
Probably really like a BMW or something really I can't never afford.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and all Chinese food restaurant waiters they're all so sorry.
And we're done. All right, thank you, sir. Right. Yeah, there was a lie. Yeah, thank you. No, that went on about three sentences too long. All right.
Finish that with prompt.
They are prompt.
In all honesty,
I said
prompt
busy.
Really great, fast service a lot of the time.
So, well, see, here's the thing. How do we know to avoid the stereotype if we don't know what the stereotype is? That's all I'm saying. I don't really know what it is I'm trying to be tricked into, what they're trying to trick me into saying here with this waiters in Chinese restaurants are. So
maybe we should call it Chinese.
But we should. We should have Scotty call a Chinese restaurant because apparently that works out really well. All right.
Right.
Okay. Are you from the Orient?
Pardon me, ma'am.
I can just see you asking it as though it's. And here's the thing is, I can see you asking her that as though it's like an ailment that you've got to help her through. As though it's some sort of like. As though it's some sort of an illness that you've got to like help get her past.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking of. But years ago, by the way, off subject, there was an airplane and airlines. Or a carrier called Northwest Orient.
Yes.
Right. There was an airline company named that. Whatever happened to them? Do you remember them?
I don't know the answer to that.
I flew on it once to Hawaii, but...
That's a fascinating story. Orient. Thank you for sharing.
Okay.
That was gripping. I especially like it that one time Scotty talked about flying on a plane. All right, we should break now. We'll come back and we will list off everyone who died in 2006 that we care about. We'll return with Tim Riley, Sarah Dillon, myself. It's 503-733-2970. What?
And Scotty J.
And Scotty J. And Dan. And then we'll talk about this guy they tased outside of a Waffle House, because that's funny. You stay there. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and kitties listen to hear sleigh bells in the of a white Christmas.
That's the female equivalent of being a porn star.
Totally.
If you model it, like if you're a shoe model, you're like, I will model these shoes and this.
Bill?
No, it's totally. Yeah, no, that's totally what it is. It's 503-733-2970. Let's get Kevin. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi. I have the definitive answer on waiters in Chinese restaurants.
All right. Okay.
All waiters in Chinese restaurants share an apartment where they stay up all night pounding on the walls to annoy Tim Savage.
Fantastic. Well done, sir. Thank you.
thing.
All right, there you go. Cheryl, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Your Monty Python caller had it kind of right. That is the answer about Chinese waiters being rude. That is the actual answer.
That is a scientific fact, in other words.
No, I'm serious. I'm like, yeah. You guys don't have a big Chinatown here. I'm from Hawaii, and we have a big Chinatown, so mm-hmm. It's kind of a common stereotype there.
So you're saying that actually, see, because clearly, I mean, we can say this, clearly the goal of this handbook they have given us is to trick us into saying things that would then paint us as being racists.
Correct.
So there's the, yeah. You know, like he drinks a lot, and then the obvious answer is Latvia.
Yes.
And so I know that, but they got this waiters in Chinese restaurants are, and for the life of us, we couldn't think of what the harmful stereotype that they wanted us to, that they were trying to manipulate us into saying was, but you think it is rude.
Yeah, I thought you were just dragging this out for comic fodder.
Oh, no, that's just incidental. Well, I mean, that's a given with anything.
Yeah, I know. It's a pretty well-known stereotype.
Just squeeze it, milk it for as long as I possibly can.
Yeah.
That's interesting. See, I've never... Has anybody in this room heard that stereotype that waiters in Chinese restaurants are rude?
No.
I think I might have.
See, and I never have... Waiters everywhere are rude.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing because a lot of them, they don't speak a lot of English, so they pretty much... You know, I mean, they get to the point, they take your order... They bring it, you know, it's efficient, but people interpret it as being rude.
Interesting.
I enjoy efficiency.
I value efficiency
as well.
Well, see,
some people might want a little conversation with
that'd be
not unless you're like 70 years old.
Yeah, seriously, only if you're old and feeble and have nothing better to do with your life. Those are the same people that want to carry in a long goddamn conversation with the woman cutting their hair.
Express line at the supermarket.
Seriously, so got any Christmas? God, I was got my haircut this weekend. And you think that they would get the point eventually that you don't want to talk. Like when I give one syllable. So, what are you doing today? Well, you know, this and that.
Chinese stylist, man. I don't know.
Seriously, get my hair cut, get anything done. I'm just going to find people who don't speak English. So that way they won't try to talk to me.
I always go to those people.
By those people, what do you mean, Tim?
People who don't engage in conversations while cutting your hair to be more efficient. And finish the job within 7 or 8 minutes.
Well answered. All right, thank you, Cheryl.
You're welcome.
All right,
bye.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't do business with English-speaking Americans. I want my hair cut.
I don't trust those people. And by those people, I mean English speakers. Mm-hmm. They're all thieves, every one of them. English speakers.
Okay.
Thieves and pedophiles. I'm just going to put this book away now.
Yeah, put that book is the source of everything evil.
Bring it back tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a... Phone's ringing.
Wow, does your phone come with that new thing called a vibrate feature?
Perhaps it's someone from the HR department. I'm sorry, were you being smart just now? Hold on. Hello. Hi there. Can I call you back? Yeah. Who's?
So what are you doing for Christmas?
Yeah, you're calling this is the wrong number.
I am,
What prescription of brandies are you refilling? Yeah, that she really doesn't live here, but I'm curious to know what kind of medication she has that's ready for her at the pharmacy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's not for Joan. Is it for Mr. Joan? Yeah. Yeah.
He's been complaining about that lumbago.
Great. All right, thank you. I was hoping to
get
that out of her.
Jones
has lumbago.
They were looking for Jones' husband because apparently his order is ready at the pharmacy.
Uh-oh.
Anywho.
Well, hopefully he doesn't really need it to be alive.
I always get a robot calling.
Oh, yeah. No, seriously. Yeah, I hope he doesn't need it like right now or something. He's at home. My pills. Billy.
He was going hiking in the mountains.
I don't know. He just started twitching. They said the pills would be here. I don't understand. Meanwhile, you know, that 7 looks a lot like a 9 when it's written down. The Rick Emerson Show is horrifying and apologizes for everything we've ever done.
That's kind of embarrassing sometimes.
Thank you. What would you rather hear? A long list of people who are dead or this guy tased to death outside a Waffle House?
Tim.
Oh, gee, that is a tough call, isn't it?
Whatever you'd like, Tim, it's your choice.
What nationality is the person who was tased at the Waffle House?
I don't believe they specify.
How could they not?
I assume he's a godless white man, responsible for all the evil in the world.
Let's hear about him then.
All right.
I mean, the dead people will still be dead tomorrow.
That is true. Even more so, really.
They're like evergreens.
Yeah.
Or perhaps they're buried beneath evergreens.
Well, I was going to say the green. Some of them are green probably by now. Some of them, you'll have to wait. Like, Steve Irwin's probably not green yet. But if you look, Lou Rawls. Yeah, he green long time. Anywho, this is from Lafayette, so you know it's good. Now, listen to all. Let's count the layers of weirdness in this story. Mm. This is from the Lafayette, Louisiana. Who even knew they had movable type down there? Officials with the Lafayette Police Department stand by their use of a taser gun. Boy, and they always will, too, because the last that thing has got to be so much fun for cops. The last thing they want is for that thing to be taken away. During a Sunday morning altercation with a nude and allegedly being tased nude has got to suck. An allegedly combative 29-year-old Karen Crow man who would later die from unknown complications. Officials are waiting on an autopsy report to determine the exact cause of Terrell Ennard's death. According to Lafayette Police Sergeant Mark Frenzis, police believe Ennard was under the influence of some type of unknown substance, angel dust. Frenzis said Ennard was strong, aggressive, combative, and unresponsive. This was an aggressive individual, and the officers did what they had to do. Frenzis said officers, had they not had a taser described as a less lethal force, then they should have... then they would have shot him. Well, he's dead anyway. But listen to this. The series of events began at 5 a.m. at the Motel 6, where all these stories come from, on the Evangeline Thruway. There, attention Sarah Dillon, Ennard allegedly jumped from the motel balcony and... broke his ankle so badly the bone punctured the skin. He then allegedly walked to the motel lobby with his bones sticking out of his skin and disrobed. How would you even get your pants over that if it was sticking out like that?
That's like a big snag.
Yeah, seriously, if it's sticking, the bone. God. If your bone is sticking out.
Maybe it was just one of those wraparound towels.
If it's a kilt?
Yeah.
If the bone is sticking out like that, okay. Getting your pants off is... Yes?
Maybe he's Scottish and he's wearing a kilt.
I just said that.
Oh, really?
Like 10 seconds ago. Where were you?
I was obviously not listening. I'm sorry.
On angel dust. Anyway, he went to the motel lobby with the bone sticking out and disrobed. Afterward, he walked to Evangeline. Some 3 miles away. And managed to flag down a car. Motel 6 employees, by the way, declined to comment. At 5:10 a.m., employees at Waffle House... not the Waffle House, not like the Batman, just Waffle House, called police after Ennard walked into the business, again with a broken bone jutting out of his skin, and became irate and verbally abusive to one of the female employees. Then he grabbed a woman by her arms, prompting a male employee to intervene. The man held Ennard in a chokehold until police arrived. Terry Dauphine, regional manager at Waffle House, said it's not uncommon for people to come into the restaurant in this kind of state... because it's open 24 hours a day. What kind of goddamn city are you in where it's not uncommon for a guy to walk in with bones jutting out of his body? Four officers were called to the Waffle House, and when the male employee free... why would you free this guy? Combat him toward officers. Listen to this. Now, this doesn't make sense. He was... the male employee of the Waffle House... intervened and held Ennard in a chokehold until police arrived. So that one guy from the Waffle House just got him in a chokehold.
Mm-hmm.
Four officers are then called to the Waffle House. The male employee freed Ennard, who then became combative, who unsuccessfully attempted to restrain him. What kind of employees do they have at the Waffle House that they are somehow superhuman? Are the cops real puny, or is the Waffle House guy real strong? How is it that one lone Waffle House employee can restrain this guy and four cops and a taser can't do it? Anyway, and now he's dead. Oh, by the way, in August of 2004, this same police force allegedly tasered a suspect 17 times while trying to, quote, taser him until he vomited up some drugs they believe he'd swallowed.
While hanging upside down.
Yeah. Fantastic. Walking on a broken bone.
Wait, this guy died?
Oh, yeah, no, he's dead.
How come we didn't make it a Darwin watch?
We already had one.
I don't know. I don't really know of it. I mean,
there is a quote.
It doesn't really seem like he himself would have died left to his own devices. It seems like that really, as it is in so many cases, that he, it really required the intervention of the police to really get your death on. Let's real quickly go through these celebrity deaths, and then we'll take our final break here. Let me just, Sarah, can you turn my computer up here? We'll do a little celebrity death
watch.
That's
one of the main reasons I wanted to...
No, that's completely wrong. Let me,
Okay.
Notable deaths in 2006 this year. This is always my favorite part of any year. My favorite moment of every year. My favorite moment of any Academy Awards show.
We could still have additional ones.
That's true. If people really want to buckle down and put in the effort.
Get out those stun guns.
Lou Rawls, dead. How many of these people had you completely forgotten that they died? Lou Rawls, dead. Shelley Winters, you forgot she was dead.
Oh, yeah.
Wilson Pickett, I didn't know he was dead. When did that happen? The wicked Mr. Pickett died?
Yeah.
Go figure. Only 64. Coretta Scott King. Al Lewis from the Monsters. He finally died. God damn, that guy lived. Yeah, that guy clung on to life. Betty Friedan. She was a hot babe. She died at 85. Let's see. Peter Benchley, author of Jaws. Don Knotts. Oh, yeah. Don Knotts. That was a long time ago. This was in February. Dennis Weaver. Dennis Weaver, best known as McCloud. Gunsmoke and the movie Duel, Steven Spielberg's first film. Otis Chandler, Kirby Puckett, Dana Reeve. I didn't realize that. Christopher Reeve's widow?
Yeah, it was a big deal for a while.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Really?
Yeah, she was on all the talk shows saying she's dying.
Really?
Finally now?
Like a final tour?
Yeah.
This is the last. I'm dying. Slobodan Milosevic. Yeah. Boy, we're going to miss that guy. Casper Weinberger. Who else? Aaron Spelling. God, that seemed like it was just yesterday, but it was months ago now. Ken Lay escaping the clutches of the law once again.
We still don't know if that's true.
No,
it's not.
He's sitting next to a Nazi in Argentina at a bar somewhere. My name is Hector. June Allison, dead. Red Buttons, dead in July. Mike Douglas, dead in August. Glenn Ford, dead in August. And, of course, Steve Irwin, dead in September of this year. Corey Lytle, dead and stupid. Christopher Glenn, dead. Ed Bradley, dead. Jack Palance, dead. Milton Friedman, dead. Robert Altman, dead. Gene Kirkpatrick, dead. And just yesterday, Joseph Barbera?
Yes.
Yeah, Joseph Barbera, dead. Those are some people. We should have made this a big snuff watch, but what are you going to do? It's just a recap. We've done snuff watches for all of these people. So there you go. There's our year-end snuff watch. Everybody who died in 2006. Let's take a break. We'll come back after this and wrap it up. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. All right. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, I meant to get to this. Police arrested a 40-year-old Lincoln, Nebraska man Monday for allegedly assaulting a man at work with a meat hook. Police say that Huang Huang, H-O-A-N-G-U-O-N-G, Huang Huang, had been at work at Premium Protein Products. I love it when they give the full address to... Why do they do that?
I don't know, it's a total tongue twister.
Premium Product, in case you want to go there for all your protein and meat hook needs, it's 4611 West Adams Avenue. And then they give the guy's home address, too. Huang Huang, who lives at 1022A Street, apartment 5. What is the point of that? Anyway, when they got into an argument in the break room, which they misspelled as beak room, which is funny, with another worker over something the other worker had said about him. What could someone say about you that would necessitate your attacking him with a meat hook? Why would you just have a meat hook around? Well, whatever.
So many meat hook-centered questions.
It's true. She said that's when Huang allegedly grabbed a meat hook and started punching and cutting the 34-year-old man with it. Someone separated the two, but not before the victim got meat hook lacerations on his back, face, and ear. And several meat hook wounds in his forehead and hairline. Fennell said there was no indication that the victim sought medical treatment for his wounds. Well, let's think about that, shall we? Yes, I can't imagine. Huang left, but police found him and arrested him less than an hour later. He was found in a bar drinking.
All right. Rick, now that this program, I do not feel well. Now that this show, I don't know what it is, man.
You're sick, dude. Everyone else has been sick. It's your turn.
Ugh, great. Thanks. Fantastic.
Yeah, you look all twitchy like you have the flu and you're really uncomfortable in your own body.
Well, I'm, yeah. Anywho, yeah, I just feel all loopy all of a sudden. I don't know why. I feel like I'm floating down a tunnel. I feel weird.
You know, chug a couple of Bisos. That's what I did. Not the energy ones.
Oh, no. That would be bad at this point. My stomach is doing kind of a churny thing. I'm not trying to gross everybody out. It's just, if I sound a little weird, I don't know. It started off feeling weird today. And
then
in
the
away.
Day with a bang.
Now it's back. You're trying to leave people with sort of a kind of a feeling. Rick, now that the show has been derailed by Mr. J taking on seven shades of discomfort, can we move on to more meaningful topics such as Sarah's underwear? Women want to know. Signed, April. Rick, in China, the waiter doesn't come to your table until you tell them to come to your table. If you want something, you have to ask for it. They don't bother you, refill your coffee or water or anything until you tell them. That's the culture, and frankly, I appreciate it. Thus, we Americans, who are used to being pestered every 5 minutes, think they are being rude. Tony in the Coop, how interesting. And that is legitimately interesting. I don't know any of these things. Rick, I'm going to save this one. I got a great email here, but, you know, I'm going to save it. For another
Can you give us a tease? What's it about?
It's about Visa. Well, you know what? I'll read it again. I'll read it really quickly, and then we'll talk to Chris, and then I'll read it again during we do a spot for them. Rick, I'm a high school student. I listen to your show all summer and every break. During the summer, I went on a long search for Vizo and couldn't find it. Finally, one day when going to school, I stopped at a Chevron to get something to eat, and I found Vizo. Since the school doesn't let you drink anything but water, I used the now empty Vizo bottle as a water bottle. When teachers asked, I showed them that it was just water. So now I can drink real Vizo at school without teachers knowing the difference. Other students constantly ask me to get them Vizo. Now it is like a mysterious nectar of the gods that everybody wants, but only I have. Thank you for enlightening me, Mimi. There you go. Glad we could help, Mimi.
That's great.
Encouraging the youth. Let's welcome now to the... that's me. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend. I think I may actually throw up. Not related to you, Chris.
You're not going to throw up right now, are you?
Right. Yes, on you.
I think you've made me sick through the radio because I think I... called Rick.
Great. All right. Well, I think I got everything but one today.
No, close. You didn't get the staple story?
Oh, yeah. I got the meat hook story, though.
You got the meat hook story at the last second, but you also didn't get the Fergie or JJ's...
Tigra and Bunny thing. I didn't get the Tigra and Bunny. Well, what could you do?
So that'll put you at three plus two, five.
All right. In my weakened condition, I can't be expected to do them. I'll do them on Friday.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Bye, talk to you tomorrow. Hey, did you see that I said for Brian, you could, Brian Blank?
I'm sorry?
You could use the theme song from Life of Brian.
Oh, I see. Okay. There you go. Not a bad idea. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley is our president, prophet, seer, and revelator. Scotty J. is the PA manager. The Rick Emerson Office East is Dave Zinn. Thank you to Lisa Goddard and Brian Blank. See y'all tomorrow. Don't let the bastard grind you down. Like us next. Bye, y'all.
Oh, there's many things you can do with carrots. You bastard.